This is the Apple This Extra.
Hello and welcome to Apple Viz Extra number 68. It is September the 10th, 2019, and it's that time of year again. Apple have announced new iPhones and iPads and all sorts of hardware. I am Dave Nason, and I'm delighted to be joined by three guests. I have from the Apple Viz editorial team, Alex Hall. How are you today, Alex?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. How's life in Maine?
It's getting nice and cool. It's finally down into the 60s Fahrenheit during the day, so it's perfect for me, but everybody else is complaining it's too cold.
Nobody's ever happy, are they?
I know.
And also from the Apple Viz editorial team, another Mac expert especially, is Tyler, but he knows his way around iOS too. Tyler Stephen, how are you?
I'm good. Also from Maine, where it's, I'm in another part of the state than Alex, but yeah, it's getting, you know, into the 60s, and I think we even hit somewhere around 50 last night, so it's getting there.
Oh yeah, it's been in the 40s a few times.
It's been in the 40s. Oh yeah.
Well, myself and our other guest may not know what that means because we speak in Celsius. I am delighted also to be joined from the Accessibility Podcast and from Dot to Dot and RNIB Tech Talk, Mr. Robin Christofferson. Robin, thanks so much.
Hello, hiya. I would take away 30 and then halve it. So the sort of teens, maybe high teens.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know.
If we got a winter like that, Robin, I think we'd be pretty happy then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for joining us, Robin. It's great to have you.
Brilliant.
You've had a busy evening.
Yeah, so the Maccessibility guys, we've just come off doing our take on the Apple event. Be interested to see what your guys' take is on the event and what it gave us.
Yeah, cool. It wasn't the longest Apple event ever. I think it was about an hour and three quarters, just under that. So we've had longer ones, but they packed a fair bit in. Tim Cook came on stage and said straight from the start, I'm not going to do my usual updates on the numbers and so on. I'm just going to get straight into it. So, you know, set the scene for a packed event. Kicked off by kind of going over the services again. So spoke about the App Store. Apple Arcade is coming September 19th with iOS 13. $4.99 a month, which had been largely rumored, but you know, that was confirmed. I don't know if there's anyone here with gamers in the house who would be interested in arcade, would there?
Not visual gaming.
No.
I mean, because it's on the Apple TV, I suppose if you had low vision and you've got a 55-inch TV or something,
true,
that would be a goer.
Yeah, very possibly. Like, and for $4.99, if the 100 games are good and you've got people in the house who want to use them, I can see yeah, that being a value. And I think
that was kind of the neat thing. They actually said that it was $4.99 for the family. So I take it if you have family sharing set up, if one of you gets it, then everyone in your family sharing group gets it. So that's kind of a neat feature.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose it makes sense with that. And it's a 1 month free trial as well, which is pretty generous, I think.
So any guesses on whether we'll see any accessible games in there?
I'm not.
Apparently not.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I mean, at least not in the foreseeable future. I don't see it. I don't know if the market is big enough or if the developers can find the incentive to do that, you know, to include it in that subscription.
And I mean, for $4.99 a month, you'd want to be getting a few of them, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if it'd be worth it, but my only hope is that I've seen a very great deal of accessibility in gaming from the Microsoft side. The Xbox is doing some great things, and a lot of game studios are starting to kind of, you know, figure out that low vision and blind gamers are a thing. So I don't know, maybe some of the studios that produce those are also going to be involved in this, and possibly we'll see some of their efforts spill over into Apple land.
It would be good to see some high quality games, you know, at best interoperable with, you know, games that, so it's not a niche market, so that the different developer, you know, that they can see the benefit of, you know, the cross section of blind and visually impaired users, and also just what you call mainstream users.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we'll see audio exclusive games, but it would be good to have playable by both sides would be good.
Yeah. And there's some games, even maybe not as much now, but even a few years ago, where if the menus had been voiceover accessible, I might have been able to have a go at the game. You know, things like Street Fighter, or, you know, kind of fairly simple games in that sense. But yeah, who knows?
The first one they showed, Frogger, it was a Frogger reboot.
Mm.
Theory, that one could be made audio enabled. Basically, things coming at you from left and right as you progress across a road. So yeah.
There's a few of those audio games knocking around, isn't there, on iPhone? A
couple, yeah. I wonder if any of them will join the Apple Arcade.
Yeah, you never know.
Any of those big game developers that we're all used to. I just wonder if they'll get involved in that at all.
Yeah. I suppose watch this space, but...
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. The other big services thing that Apple has been telling us all about, and we got a bit more detail on today, was the Apple TV Plus service. So again, that's going to be $4.99 a month, but... And it has a seven-day trial in this case. But if you buy a new iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad, Mac, or Apple TV, you get it free for a whole year, which is a pretty good deal.
Am I right?
A year is crazy.
This was until the 1st of November when the service starts. So you have to buy the product before then.
Ah, I didn't hear that, but I
might have got that wrong, guys, but something tells me that that's what they said. It might have been an off-the-cuff comment from one of the commentators on the Twit live stream
that I was on.
But so it might be on a slide, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I certainly didn't read it anywhere, but I'll be keeping an eye out for that now. So November the 1st, so whereas Arcade launches on September 19th, it's November the 1st is when we're going to see the first shows appear on Apple TV+. They mentioned a few of the trailers, like The Morning Show, that have been doing big numbers, and they showed us C, which is a show that at least conceptually might seem interesting to some of our listeners, because it's about a world with no sight. Did anyone looking forward to this one?
I am, actually. I didn't see. Listened to the trailer on the event, and I was surprised. I hadn't heard anything about this. I was mostly surprised because they went with the whole, this is a show about people that are blind, and we actually consulted with blind people to do it, which was kind of refreshing. It's always nice. I'm really intrigued by it. I don't know how it's going to go, because its whole premise seems to be more, not so much the blind people are the main ones, but the people who are born and can see are the main ones. And then it's this conflict between the sighted and the blind, the sighted children and the blind parents. So it's interesting, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm just hoping it doesn't go in a strange direction.
So I have a disclaimer here, because I was one of those blind consultants.
Oh, nice.
For the show.
That's cool.
So I spent 3 days with the writers and the producer, Stephen Knight, who did Peaky Blinders and that sort of thing. And the trailer that they showed today is different. From the we looked through. Now, it might just be how they chose to do the narrative for the trailer. But as you were saying, you know, it sounded from that trailer as if, oh, the whole world's blind, but don't worry, because some sighted people have come along.
saviors.
It's the opposite. Yeah. So it's set 600 years in the future, and sight isn't even a thing, and everything's geared up for not being able to see. Mm-hmm. And these two children, I hope I'm not kind of breaching NDAs here or anything, but there's a lot of stuff out there already about it. But yeah, there's two children that for whatever reason don't have the same problem as everyone else. I think it was a virus originally, but who knows, maybe they've changed that in the script going forward. But anyway, so yeah, they can see, but they it kind of works to their disadvantage for a while. And yeah, it's kind of hopefully going to be on the right side of well done. And they certainly went in it with the right hopes to make, you know, not for it to be a show about disabled, you know, that portrayed disability in a poor light. Mm. You know, that it's astonishing the stuff that happens in this society where vision isn't a thing. And there are loads of kind of workarounds and that sort of thing. But they're not all kind of, you know, homebound, inactive because they can't see. Mm. They've
adapted the world to them, I suppose.
Yeah, it's very tribal. They go out and slaughter each other in copious numbers. They're very graphic.
Wonderful.
X-rate. Well, the scripts are very X-rated, to be honest. So this isn't what you might immediately think that Apple would go for. Mm. It was a no-holds-barred thing. So I don't know. The jury's out. That trailer seemed to layer on the sort of cheesiness and kind of make us think again about how good it's going to be after the first few scripts for the first few episodes and the bare bones scripts for hopefully there's going to be more than one series were kind of finalized. We didn't have anything to do with it after that.
Yeah.
So who knows which directions it went to that. But they were pretty firm scripts at that point, and we were having a lot of say into what they would and wouldn't do in a blind world. And they, in the original scripts, they were very much into face feeling and stuff like that. So I knew that pretty quick.
Good.
If you're blind, is to have people thrusting their fingers in you if you're not expecting it. So, yeah, but there's a lot of nifty stuff in there, and I'm hoping that the audio description will convey some of the nifty stuff that happens in this world, the adaptations and stuff like that. But and hopefully there's lots of humor as well, because we're encouraging them to do a lot of quirky things. You know, in a world where you can't see, you could do anything. You could be doing anything, and nobody would know.
Have a bit of fun with it.
Incidental stuff going on, because in that world there would be a lot of, you know, socially inappropriate incidental stuff going on, because it's not socially inappropriate because nobody knows you're doing it. So anyway, we will see.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this one, actually.
Me too.
Could go either way, guys.
I know you're not a big TV fan, I know from listening to you elsewhere, Robin, but I assume you'll watch this one.
Yeah, that was weird that I was approached, because I don't do TV. So, but I am very visual because I did used to be able to see. So and they did bring on people that couldn't see from birth as well. So they had both sides of it.
Okay.
But yeah, sounds cool. We'll see. We will see.
Do we know, has Apple made any commitment to, you know, having audio description on all of their original shows, or
not that I've heard?
Have they said anything publicly?
I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah. I mean, they will on this one.
I would hope.
So that would be weird if they just had it on this one.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think, is it Netflix have committed to it on all originals? You know?
Yeah, yes. I think so.
I'd love to see that kind of public commitment from Apple.
It would. I mean, Apple's described all of their, you know, media videos and all that kind of stuff for the last couple of years. Yeah. And they were the first ones to bring on described content through iTunes. Mm. So it surprised me if they didn't, but it would be nice to have them say, absolutely, yes, we will do this.
So to recap, that was the services section, really. That was Apple TV Plus for $4.99 a month, but free if you buy one of their devices that can play that content, and Apple Arcade $4.99 a month as well. So that's we're going to be hearing a lot more about services over the next few years. I think we've all got that impression. Yep. So that was today, and then we got on to the hardware. And well, they surprised me for one anyway with a new iPad. I hadn't heard anything about an iPad coming today. This isn't either, I even thought at first this was a replacement for the one that they announced only like 6 months ago, but that was an iPad Air. This is the iPad, so the one from about 18 months ago. But it's changed from a 9.7-inch to a 10.2-inch screen, Retina screen. It has... it still has the home button, from what I could gather, and correct me if I'm wrong. A10 Fusion, so I think that's the same as the iPhone 7 chip. Supports Apple Pencil, smart connector for smart keyboard. So it's a good base level iPad for $329.
So here's what got me about it, though. The A10 is the same chip that's in the... All right, so this is the iPad 7. We'll just call it the 7 because it's the 7th generation. The iPad 6 is the $329 one that it replaces. Mm-hmm. The iPad 6 has the A10 Fusion chip as well. So it kind of bugged me that they didn't update that. Like, why would they not go at least to the A11? You know, something better. Like you said, it's been 18 months. There's good stuff in there. You know, I'm not saying there's not, but I was surprised they didn't go for a slightly better processor while they were doing all these updates.
So it's really the screen that's improved.
And there are a lot more pixels, 3.5 times as many pixels because the density has gone way down or way up. And one would assume that there was a big overhead in that A10. You know, it wasn't working to its max at all and that it's pretty comfortable. I don't know. But yeah, you're right. It seems odd to bump everything, but not that.
Yeah.
I just wonder long term what'll happen because the A10 Fusion in 2016 with the iPhone 7, if you think about Apple's life cycle here, in 2019, the A9 is the processor that's most supported. I can see in 2020 or perhaps 2021, them doing away with support for the A9, then 2022 or something possibly or later. That's not very far off from when the A10 Fusion goes. So you're already introducing devices with a shorter lifespan, unless they decide to increase it somehow, their software support. Or maybe they're just hoping, maybe they're just counting on people for, if they're spending $329, they're expecting people to not hold on to that for as long. But if it's targeted towards the education market, those like schools and public institutions tend to run on stringent upgrade cycles, so it's going to be a while before if a school commits to buying a fleet of iPads in 2019, it's going to be a pretty good chunk of time before they consider making another investment that.
Schools often expect to get 5-6 years
because they're in it for the long haul.
But I guess I still know of people running iPad Air 3 or something like that on iOS 9, so these things do hang around even after they're receiving new updates. It's Robin, are you an iPad guy?
I'm not myself. I would actually, and I was hoping that they would actually keep the SE or, bump the SE and keep it alive, but no, sadly not. So I would go smaller. I'm not actually a big screen guy. We have one in the family and it's used a lot. So I am kind of interested in, secondhand interested, but we could not live without an iPad. So if you have some sight or if you don't get put off by the larger screen, then they're incredibly useful devices because of the battery. That thing can go a couple of days quite easily. So if you could slip that in your bag with you, if you needed to really have functionality on the go. But not interested in myself really.
I like my iPad now. I have, I do some vision, so I watch a lot of TV on my TV that I watch on my iPad because I can hold it up close to my face basically. I do look at these kind of cheaper ones sometimes and go, why do I have, now it's a few years old, but I have the 9.7 inch iPad Pro and I realize I don't really use the Pro features. So sometimes some of these cheaper iPads are starting to look more and more attractive, that if all you want an iPad for is kind of the basics, I think there's some good value there now.
Is the form factor for this one different from the Air? Because we've got an Air at the moment. Is it noticeably heavier than the Air or fatter?
That's the question I actually asked Tyler even before we started recording. I was like, that Air is kind of in a strange place now compared to this one, I think.
Yeah, I picture that as sort of the consumer mid-range type iPad. But it is a little confusing because for a couple of years, they abandoned the iPad Air name. Like in 2013, they introduced the iPad Air. That's the one I had for a while. And then, of course, 2014, the iPad Air 2. Everyone was expecting that they'd make an iPad Air 3, but it just went, because in 2015, obviously, it went from, into the iPad Pro. And then eventually they went to just the iPad. And now they're bringing back the iPad Air. So over the years, the branding of that product does get a little confusing. But yeah, I think it's like the iPad as the lowest range, low end. There's the iPad Mini for those who want a smaller screen. The iPad Air, sort of mid range, and the iPad Pro, obviously, is for a higher end model.
Yeah, seems like quite a lot to me, but it's got to be something in there to suit everybody, I guess. It comes in, by the way, 32 gigabyte or 128 gigabyte. So it doesn't come any larger than that. And that might be another differentiator. So some of the other ones might go up to 256 or 512 or what have you, if you want
a terabyte.
Yeah, if you want to store a lot on it. But this one, this is at 128. So,
and that's 329 coming month end.
Yes. Yep. So available to order today, actually, and ships on the 30th of September. Which is also when another iPad OS will ship with that then. So yeah, that's pretty much the iPad. And then they moved us on to Apple Watch. So who here has Apple Watches? I know I have a Series 4, so I got one last year.
Series 4.
Yeah. Three,
okay. And Tyler, I don't think you do you?
No.
Cool. So I'm not in the market for one, but this... Robin, you might be if yours is three. I don't know how often you update your Apple Watches, but...
I had a Series Zero, the original one, which was very, very slow, with VoiceOver on in particular. And then the three is lightning fast. And at the moment, I'm on, let me just check, 63%, and it's, you know, 10:30 at night. So I don't know. I don't have a cellular one. I always have my phone with me. I'd never go anywhere without my phone. It's fast, it's, you know, it does everything I want it to do. So the thing that the new version has, the Watch 5, is Series 5, the always on display and things like that don't really apply to me. So yeah, don't know. If it had built-in sleep tracking, which they didn't mention.
There was rumors of that, wasn't there? And then
a lot, yeah.
Yeah, so that might be appealing, but I do use Sleep Plus Plus, which is a good alternative. So yeah, no, I really like it. And I've gone for the 38 millimeter. So, and that I think is a nice size. Whether the 40 in the 4 and the 5 are that much bigger, I don't know. Obviously, they've got a much bigger screen because it goes edge to edge.
It's not much, because I had a Series 0 as well. And then last year, I upgraded to the 4. So yeah, I understand that big change that you had when you went to the 3. And yeah, it's not much bigger. Like I had the bigger one both times and there isn't a huge difference.
Yeah. When I got the Zero, the first one, it was a 42 and it felt like a toy. It kind of felt weird and I'd never felt a 38. And so I thought when I upgrade, I'll go for the smaller one, you know, just ring the changes. And that just felt like the right size for me. Whether I've just got dainty wrists or something, but it felt much more in proportion to the watch band and to my wrist. So I don't know. It might look like a lady's watch on my wrist. I don't know. But the 44, I don't know. Have either of you guys got that?
I do.
Yeah, I'm on the 44.
Mind you sound like you've got big wrists.
Yeah, Alex does.
I don't know how to take that, but thanks.
Yeah, it sounds like it's just the right size for you.
It is. Yeah, I actually do enjoy the 44. My sister has the 38 Series 3, but that smaller size. And way back when we first tried the watches, I tried the 38 because it was cheaper at the time, and I was just testing it out, so I didn't really care about finding the perfect one. And it was just a little bit too small for me. I didn't have quite the room I do, you know, for two finger gestures. They're doable. They're fine. But I don't know. I'm more comfortable in the 44 or the 42. So,
yeah. And you get more battery life as well.
Yeah, you do somewhat. Yeah.
I've never tried the 38, so I can't really speak to it, but I know I like the one I have, you know, that kind of way. But
yeah. I can definitely say though that I am not planning on upgrading to the Series 5. No. It has a built-in compass and I don't really use it for navigation, so I don't care. It has an always-on display and I obviously don't care. And it's faster, but it's not faster enough for Apple to have mentioned anything on stage about what they usually do. You know, they're normally all, it's 14 million times faster than this one and it's all this number stuff. They didn't do any of that. There was nothing at all. So I'm assuming if it is faster, it's not faster enough for users to even notice. So I'm not going to bother with it for that. My 4 is great. It's extremely fast, very responsive. I had the 0, then the 2, and the 4 is the first one that feels like a really good experience. So I'm going to hold on to that for a while and hope that future upgrades don't break it too badly.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be good for several years, surely.
I think so.
I hope to get 3 years at least out of this out of this series four, you know.
Yeah.
Unless something really comes along that is looks like a feature I really need, and like you say, always on display. I think that'll be really popular. I expect to see a lot of good press about that, but for us, I don't think it's obviously a game changer.
No.
And the compass, like you, I don't use the Apple Watch for navigation. So
apparently with the always on display, they dim it when it's not kind of awake, when you don't raise your wrist or anything like that. And they take the refresh rate down to 1 hertz. And that tickled me because, yeah, that's the minimum that you're going to get away with if you need to redraw a second hand every second.
I didn't think of that. Oh, nice. Yeah, but the always on display is, I told my mother about it because she's had an Apple Watch for a few years and she is all excited. She's like, that's the best idea ever. I'm really loving that. You know, there's so many times when I want to check the time or look at my watch face and I can't do it because I can't reach my wrist or I can't move my arm. So she is all about that. And I'm assuming that's going to be a lot of sighted people's reactions.
And I've heard
it'll be interesting though. Sorry.
I've heard people say as well, even aesthetically, they don't like the look of just a black screen on their wrist. They like the idea of it looking a bit
more. Oh, yeah, I have heard that too. Like it's something about it. They just like to have something filled in there, I guess.
Yeah.
I always thought though you could just have the plain analog dial or digital dial on all the time. And because it's OLED, you're only driving those pixels and you only have to refresh it every second. And as you raise your wrist, all the complications kind of come back in, like brighten up, and I thought that would look really cool, but they never went for that.
Yeah. And I use the simple face because it's the only one I can actually kind of read visually if I do ever need to just glance at the time and not listen to voiceover. But I don't like that one because it only has 4 complication spaces and a lot of the newer ones don't work on it. So I'm kind of in this stuck in this zone of kind of wanting to use Infograph, but also wanting to use Simple.
Well, that kind of leads me to my one concern about it, not for our community, but for the sighted world. It dims when it's not being actively used. So I wonder how many people are going to buy one, get all excited about it, and then realize they can't see it in the sunlight. They have to brighten it anyway. It'd just be interesting to find out what happens with that.
Yeah. If they bring out a round one, I might upgrade.
What about some of the new casing options? Anyone intrigued by the new metals?
What, a titanium?
Yeah, titanium, stainless steel, and ceramic, which I guess is a new color.
Ceramic white.
Brilliant white.
Yeah. I can't imagine. The white doesn't sound nice to me, but it's the premium one, so it must be nice, but it doesn't sound nice to me.
Leo Laporte, who's the chief twit
guy,
listening to, he has that ceramic white one and he says it's absolutely gorgeous. So I think we can probably just give Apple a pass on whether something looks nice or not.
Yeah,
that's fair. Yeah,
just assume that they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite a few different colors, but no, not really excited to see that stuff.
So I can't see much at all, but I don't know why. I've always been really intrigued by the Space Black stainless steel. I've always kind of wanted one. I've never wanted one enough to spend the whatever hundreds of dollars it is, but I've always kind of wanted to try it just to see what other people think of it.
I had the silver stainless steel in the Zero, and it was nice. But yeah, I definitely looked at that stainless, the black one. Although I know Sebastian Page from I Download Blog, I remember heard him talking about it, and he said he loved the look of the stainless steel black, except he couldn't find any straps or bands to actually match it compared to the silver.
Of Vymor, he has every single band out there and a lot of different watches. And yeah, he always calls the black stainless steel with the black stainless steel link bracelet, which is horrendously expensive. He calls it the Vader model.
Yeah, he loves the old Darth Vader. Yeah. I think he got the iPhone 7 jet black, the Darth Vader iPhone as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does look pretty cool, in fairness. It's available to order today, which surprised me. I'd say there was some... I was starting to panic. Is the iPhone going to go on sale today? so, yeah, available today. Ships September 20th. Starts at $399 for GPS or, you know, regular model, and $499 for the
Cellular.
And then 199, I believe, for the Series 3, which is actually a deal that could interest some people.
Yeah. So yeah, the funny thing is I got my... my family went in on an Apple Watch for my sister last year for an upgrade. And we thought $199 for the GPS Series 3 was like this amazing deal. We were all happy about it. Now they come out and that's just the price now. So kind of figures.
And then people like myself and Robin are always still waiting to see, well, what is the actual price? How is that going to convert?
Because
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it?
It doesn't convert as you might think, Alex and Tyler.
Yeah. Is it higher than we would want it to be?
Yeah, like...
Isn't it?
Hmm?
It's usually dollar for pound.
Near enough. Yeah.
Really?
But same guys to the euro. Tax, don't you? Whereas ours is always...
Inclusive of tax, yeah, that's true.
But that still doesn't make up the difference by a long way.
We still pay more. We definitely pay more than you guys.
I think the Series 3, for people that have an older version, particularly the 0 or the 1, don't wait any longer. That 3's come down in price. I know you're going to be buying something that's a couple of years old, but you know, the 4 and the 5 potentially don't have a lot for, you know, what would you say are the selling points of your 4, apart from the speed perhaps, although the 3's does seem pretty...
If you use it a lot for kind of workouts and stuff, the kind of automatic starting of, I think that's only on 4, isn't it? Yeah. Automatic workout detection.
I believe so.
That's on 3.
That's on 3, okay. Take that one out. Scratch that then.
I know the 4 has better workout sensors. It's array of gyros and I don't know what alls. It's supposed to be more sensitive and have a lot higher refresh rate and all that stuff. So that's partly why I got it. And it is legitimately faster than the 3. I'll give it that as well.
And I guess it's the slightly bigger screen, I guess, within the same size case.
There's that.
I upgraded last year because I was on a 0 and I just thought, okay, I'll get this and then that'll last me another few years. That was kind of my thinking. Yeah.
I just think that, I mean, the 8 is the iPhone 8. We're coming onto the iPhones in a moment, but that's still around. And I just think that people shouldn't discount those.
Yeah.
Those kind of previous gens.
Definitely,
They were the hottest thing when they came out and nothing's really changed. They're still red hot. There's better stuff out there, but you know, if you want to get into the watch universe, then that I think is a really good option still.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's perfect.
There'll probably be some sales in retailers around the place on the Series 4 now as well. So you might pick up a deal on that.
Yeah, because just to be clear, the 3 and the 5 are now the 2 watches. The 4 is gone, so people are going to be clearing those out.
Yeah, so I'd keep an eye out for those as well. But I think that about does us for watch. Like I said, it's available to order straight away, and the shipping towards the end of the month.
Well, one other thing about that, though, they mentioned this more toward the end. They're doing this amazing idea, and I don't think any company has ever done this before. You can pair your own band with the watch. It's incredible. It's letting you choose the color that you want. It's so revolutionary, and I'm so glad Apple's the first one to think of this. They were just so proud of themselves. You can pair your band with the watch, and you can buy the color you want. It's like, I should have done that in 2015.
Yes, Alex, they did do it in 2015 and then they stopped doing it in 2016.
Did they really?
Yeah, you could put far more.
It's funny. At first, I thought I thought you were serious. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I get it now.
I didn't know they used to do it. That's terrible.
Like that one, in one ear and out the other for me. Like when they were giving the presentation, the spiel about the retail and Apple Watch Studio and the great things they've been doing in the retail stores, that just went right. Like, it's like, eh.
Yeah, I almost tuned out of that one. I'm glad I didn't, though, because they started talking about pairing your own bands. I'm like, yeah, imagine that, letting people buy the one they want. That's cool, Apple. That's
so
cool.
So frustrating last year when I had to buy some band I didn't want just to get the color of watch I wanted.
But yeah, that was in the retail section at the end. But that, in case people are wondering, you can do that online when you buy online.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Every time somebody from retail comes on stage, I'm sitting there praying that they'll go. There's a Dublin store opening, but no, still.
No, I know the feeling. We have a Best Buy, which is an Apple authorized service provider and reseller, but we don't have a local Apple store at all, and we probably never will.
So yeah, everyone happy with Apple Watch then? No one's buying one though, right?
No.
I will not be buying one. I didn't have an interest in an Apple Watch yesterday, and that does not change today or tomorrow.
I can see that. Fair enough. Yeah. If you weren't already interested, there's nothing there to grab you this time.
Nah.
We'll convert them someday. I know. I like my Apple Watch, but I've said it many times. It's not my top priority where Apple stuff is considered. So yeah, after that, then got on to, I guess, the main event, which was iPhone. I think actually really think interesting thing about iPhone now is just a slight change almost to how they are marketing the lineup. Whereas before it was like the XS was the, or the XS was the main one. And then alongside that, you could upgrade the screen size to the max. And then the XR was kind of sold as the little brother, you know, the slightly compromised one. Whereas now they're going out the gate with iPhone 11 is the main device. And then you can pay more for these pro ones if you get the sort of subtle difference there.
It did surprise me, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, which I think reflects it's the reality of it, because that 10R and now the 11, there's no compromises there really, particularly not for us. Okay, it hasn't got an OLED screen, but the cameras are superb if you're into that sort of thing. The battery life's brilliant because they, for the first time in a long time, made it a bit chubbier, a bit fatter. So yeah, really good phone. So I think that one they should lead on that one. Proudly.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, the XR is now the iPhone 11, I suppose, or the upgrade to the XR is the iPhone 11. It's so similar to last year, 6.1 inch liquid LCD screen, I believe they call it. Or liquid retina, is it?
Liquid retina, yeah.
Which is an LCD, unlike the OLED and the other phones. But again, even I've heard plenty of fully sighted people say this screen is great. You know what I mean? That never mind us. It comes in six different colors. So good Apple tradition. They like six colors, which are, I believe, green, red, yellow, purple, white, and black. No blue.
But no blue. I wanted a blue.
I wanted a blue phone.
Me too.
But I might settle for green. There's talk of new sound features like spatial audio and Dolby Atmos and things like that.
How do they figure that a phone, all right, I've got the 7, to be fair, I don't have the newest, but they said the 7 would have these great stereo speakers and it just doesn't. I mean, the bottom speaker is louder than the top speaker and it's okay. It's a phone, but it's not great. How do they figure this is Atmos compatible surround sound, whatever magic stuff? Like, what are they talking about here?
It seems like they're talking about computational kind of doing it, you know, fudging it somehow. Because you're absolutely right. A proper Dolby Atmos rig, you have to kit out a whole room.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd have to go to a place that had really expensive kit to be able to appreciate a proper Dolby Atmos. He says, like, he knows what he's talking about. But that's what I've heard. So I don't know. Maybe it's a computational hack that they're talking about.
Yeah, it's
be happy to have their brand Atmos on it. I don't know.
That was the one thing that made me say, okay, you know what? I've got to run out to the store next Saturday and see what this is all about. Like, everything else was kind of, yeah, all right, cool. But that one grabbed me because I've always been a fan of good sounding audio stuff. And if I can have that built into a phone without needing to break out anything else, awesome. I doubt it, but you never know.
Do you listen to it out loud? Because if I want to, even if I'm walking from one side of the house to the other to talk to someone, I will pop my AirPods in.
I'm the same.
I do, but if I'm, you know, if I'm at home just not doing anything or listening to something on my own, then, you know, I will sometimes use just regular old audio. And I think I might more if I had the option of just putting my phone down and having great sound, you know, connecting to anything, no turning anything on, just there.
For me, it's either it's the Echo or it's my AirPods. Do you know? I don't I don't.
When you say the Echo, is that playing stuff natively or do you, you know, connect it to the phone?
Okay. No, generally it's playing off TuneIn Radio or Spotify or what have you. So if I want to listen to something out loud, I use that. And if I want to listen to in my ears, it's AirPods. They're in my ears like half the day, those things. Yeah. So. The battery slightly better, I think you mentioned, which is always welcome.
An hour better.
They mentioned faster Face ID, and this, for people who are interested in photography, it is now, it's a dual camera system with an ultra wide lens, which means you can zoom out as opposed to zooming in. So I'm sure the camera sounded pretty good, in fairness. The wider angle on the front one as well.
Now supports pets.
Sorry, yes, portrait mode now supports pets. This is crucial.
I had no idea what they were talking about.
Yeah, that's another thing where I kind of almost like tuned out a little when talking about the camera, because they really, over the years, they've really devoted more and more time to the camera.
They definitely do.
Yeah. And I think I probably at some point will upgrade, because I've had my iPhone 7 for about 3 years now. And I mean, it's fine. It does what it does. But I mean, the battery is at about 85% of its original capacity. And when it starts to throttle, I don't want to spend, I don't think it'd be wise to spend the money to replace a battery for a over 3 year old phone. Because that'd just be good. I feel like that'd be good money after bad. So I'm in between the iPhone 11, which I probably will go for, or the iPhone 11 Pro, because I wish, like, the iPhone 11, that's 6.1, and the iPhone 11 Pro is 5.8, and I don't like, because I can't see a screen anyway, and I don't like as much real, I don't tend to like a lot of screen real estate in general. I might get the 5.8, but I just, oh my God, the $999 price tag. Whew, my God. So I might do something like that, but I'm a little torn, because I don't know if I should take the plunge in the short term or wait, because there are rumors that in March of 2020, Apple will make a sort of something akin to an SE revival or a low-cost iPhone 8-ish device, where they would put a faster processor, preferably the A12 or the A13, in a 4.7-inch form factor to make it like the 8, you know, keep Touch ID, keep the home button, keep the camera set up. But just put the upgraded processor and internals. Because if they did what they did with the iPad and didn't upgrade the processor from the iPhone 8, I probably wouldn't get it, because I at that point, buying something, putting money into something that's already a couple years old, something that I'm going to keep for a couple years, because it's like phones are now, I feel like computers, and that I don't replace my computer every 2 years, and I don't find the need to replace my phone every 2 years. Having said that, I like to, when I do get a phone, I like to buy it with something that I can get satisfactory performance for a good amount of time.
Something that will last. But I feel your pain on that one, because like there was rumors in March 2019 and there was rumors in March 2018 that they got an SE Ultra.
That's I'm sort of, it seems to come sort around every year. This on what rumor. To do.
I'm like that. I actually, my favorite phone, I think I was saying, was the iPhone 7. I have the 10 now, which is roughly the same size, but still noticeably bigger, heftier than the 7 was.
I might go into
the 6.1 is going to be bigger again.
At some point, when I go to the store, the Apple store or something, I'll have to check and see if I can feel them in person, the 5.8 versus the 6.1, how they feel in a pocket, how they feel holding them with one hand, all that stuff.
I think that the development as of today that kind of puts the kibosh on that SE revival or update idea is that they've stopped doing the SE now, haven't they, as of today?
Did they?
Oh, yeah, that's true. They don't sell it anymore. It's not in their lineup.
That would be odd to nix that and then have it reborn next spring. I mean, I would suggest the 8, and I'll tell you why, because if you like the 7, you'll like the 8. It will feel like a brand new phone, because it is. The battery will be, you know, back to full health. It has the brilliant glass back, which I absolutely love. And I have a really classy metal bumper case on it. So I feel the back and the front all the time, you know, really feels very different from the 6S that I had before. And it's got wireless charging. So you just chuck it on the stand. So
wireless charging is a big thing for me, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, if I was more forward thinking back in 2017, I probably would have gotten the 8, and that way I could have future proofed more.
But the iPhone 8, we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves a bit, but the iPhone 8 will now start at $449, I believe. So that's quite a good deal if you don't care about having the newest and you just really need the wireless charging. You still have Touch ID. You still have the home button. Yeah. You still have the form factor.
It has wireless charging.
Yeah, no, that's the 8 has the wireless charging. So if you need that, it's a good entry-level option. It's just not giving you the latest processors and cameras and whatevers, but still a good phone, like Robin was saying, and it still has those options. So if you're looking for cheaper, $449 isn't terrible for an iOS device, and you still get a lot of good features.
Yeah, and like just to recap for people maybe who haven't read up all the details of the new ones, it's like the difference really between the 11 and the 11 Pro is, yeah, the 11 Pro comes in two sizes now, a 5.8 inch screen and a 6.5, whereas the 11 regular is a 6.1. It's OLED screen, so if you can see the screen well enough to appreciate screen differences, that may well interest you to have that kind of sharper, better contrast screen. And the better contrast, especially for low vision people, maybe it is noticeable enough. A three camera system instead of a two camera system. Everything else is pretty much the same. I mean, they're saying they got 4 hours extra battery over last year's device. I think, did I hear that right? 4 hours?
Yeah, 4 hours for the XS to the 11 five. And 5 hours for the Max to the new Pro Max. Sorry, the 11 Pro. It's 1 hour from 10R to 11, four hours from 10S to 11 Pro, and then five for Max to Max. There we go.
Cool. Things like the processors are the same as the 11, the A13 Bionic. They talked about better graphics, all the usual speed bumps. A lot
so
they talk about.
Actually, this is the other thing that kind of got me. There was a very brief mention where you could kind of pick out that it's up to 20% faster, but every other year it's been, you know, it can do this much more and it's this much better and here are the numbers and here's what we did and it's all this crazy stuff. And this year, kind of like with the watch, they just didn't do it. So I have to wonder, if you have a XS and you go to an 11, I don't think you'll actually see or feel or notice any big differences. Like, a lot of it is down to faster ML for the image processing stuff, and that's about it. But there was no, you know, apps open this much faster or download speeds are this much better.
I noticed that though.
Yeah. How fast can you get?
Watch.
True.
It's a completely different story. But
I mean, supposedly faster cellular, but I don't know what exactly what
something was six times faster. Was that the machine learning stuff? I don't know. They said it was a lot more power efficient though as well. So it's doing the same, you know, better speeds at a
I think it's like less two power. High performance cores, two high performance cores, four high efficiency cores.
Yeah, I mean, they did say that it's the fastest CPU and GPU in any mobile device on the market today, and we haven't fact checked that, but probably. But they didn't compare it to last year's, and that's very odd for Apple not to do.
Yeah,
I mean, and part of it also, I think phones have really, you know, this isn't the early days of the iPhone or of smartphones in general, where, you know, they were constantly adding new features and new groundbreaking innovations and revolutions. Mm-hmm. Now it's, you know, it's stagnated to the point that, I mean, just look at earlier this year in January of 2019, they, for the first time in a while, they downgraded their quarterly estimates. And I don't pay attention to the numbers and quarterly estimates and fiscal reports, a whole lot as much as some people do probably, but you know, I think that's telling in saying that the market, things don't change as much year after year. People aren't upgrading their phones as much, and so the market has really stagnated. They don't have the same, you know
it can only
go so far.
It's a matured market now, you know what I mean? It's perfect. It's always going to happen, really.
And just to be clear, I'm not upset with Apple for not going into all the numbers porn that we're used to. Like, I'm totally fine with them not doing it. It was just weird for them not to, is all.
Yeah.
I think that until they go to a different scale, you know, is it 7 nanometer still? You know, there's going to have to be, we're kind of incrementally improving these chips and, you know, putting more things, more of different chips on the same system on a chip so that you get efficiencies that way, etc. So they're kind of doing things more and more cleverly, but yeah, we're not going to see massive leap forward in technology until we get, you know, a completely different scale of chip, a completely different battery technology. So 5G is going to suck the battery right out of phones as well. So
I think 2020 or 2021 is when they're projected, at least at this point, to be entering the 5G space. So by the time I'd be up for, if I get a new iPhone this year, by the time 2 or 3 years down the road, hopefully by then the 5G rollout will be more progress will have been made, be more underway. So there'll be more progress, less glitches, be more widespread. So maybe it makes good economic sense. You know.
Well, they were the same with 4G. They didn't rush in. So
true.
The lineup, the way it works, by the way, is starts at the top at $10.99 starting price for the iPhone Pro Max, and then $9.99 for the iPhone Pro, and then $6.99, which is a decent price for the iPhone 11.
Yeah, it's $50 less than the XR, I believe. Yeah.
So.
And it comes in midnight green, base gray, silver, and gold.
That's the Pro, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, the 11 has a couple more colors as well. So,
lavender, yellow, product red. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just that one just said green, did it? As opposed to midnight green, I think.
Yeah.
Which is a disappointing.
Midnight green.
I want blue, or I'd prefer midnight green, but I'm not paying $300 extra for, for a slightly different color green, or for 0.3 of an inch less screen size.
Speaking of colors, though, one thing they did make sure to mention on stage was they're releasing clear cases, official Apple clear cases for all the things this year, whereas they usually, I think they only had the 10R cover last year and they didn't even release it right away. So if you want to show off all your colors, you can finally do that, which is kind of neat to see. I know I've used a clear case for a while and I really like it. Mm. It's a I don't even know what the thing's called now. Totally, yes. Thank you. Totally case. And I really like it. It's totally clear, hence the name. It's really, really thin. So that Apple's doing that is kind of nice because I know a lot of people just go for first party everything. So it's good to have the option there.
It's an easy add-on when you're buying the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I never used to use cases, and then I smashed my iPhone 10 a couple of years ago and started.
I remember that.
That was an expensive mistake. But that's interesting actually, because like people do that. One of the things people like to upgrade their phone for is for that new look, believe it or not. Yep. So to be able to show that off definitely makes sense. Surprised they haven't done it before now.
One thing they didn't mention, and there were lots of rumors about this. Maybe I did missed it in the announcement. You can like two-way charging. You can place your wireless charging, your Qi AirPower case, or your Apple Watch on the back of your iPhone.
Or your AirPods. Is that?
No, not a thing.
Not a thing.
It's not a thing.
Not that I know of anyway. Not that anyone's mentioned.
You're right.
It
was heavily rumored, but.
And yeah, that's why it was for a while.
They go down to make it centered on the back of the phone rather than a little bit higher up. So that people, and it's a new logo now. It's a glass effect. 5-color, slightly swirly logo.
Didn't know that.
Wait, did that actually come to fruition today? Or
no,
I believe
I don't think it. Yeah,
I believe it did.
You think it?
Wireless charging.
I haven't read it yet, but hey.
I meant the logo and the placement.
Oh, the logo. Yeah.
But they were saying that's because you need to know that it's that kind of phone.
Yeah.
So that you could put two of them together and the thing would match.
Oh. And also, if you're putting, say, your AirPod case on, you need to know where to.
True.
You know where this. You'd need to know where the spot was. That's what I kind of heard during the rumors as well.
So it's either true and you heard it here first, or it's all a pack of lies.
Yes.
I mean, I really hope you're right. That'd be great. Yeah.
But you want your battery on your phone rather than letting it go to something else.
No.
It's great though, because I've had that where my AirPods have run out of juice.
Right.
I've forgotten to plug them in or what have you. And to know you could just give it a quick boost would be great.
Now, what's kind of interesting about this, though, is that Apple might have done something they've done in the past where everything's ready to go and it's now just down to the software. So they might announce, in 3 months, hey, guess what your magic new phone can do too? And there it is. So they might have already prepared the hardware and we're now just waiting for them to finalize everything else that they need to do, and they just didn't say it yet because they remember the AirPower fiasco.
That's true. Yeah. They've had hardware in phones that they've not switched on for several generations.
Yeah.
It's good to go, the NFC chip and that sort of thing. So,
Very true. And completing the lineup, by the way, is the 10R is staying around, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's $599.
It is.
And then, as you said, the iPhone 8 will still be available. So if you want to, you know, a bargain, arguably, and B, you love home buttons, the iPhone 8 is still there.
Anyone catch the storage options for these?
I didn't.
They all start at 64.
Do they?
Still 64.
Okay. They all start at 64 for the price that are quoted there.
I'm surprised they haven't, you know, put that up to 128 at this point.
Oh, I'm not. 128 is still the default.
128 and 256, I think.
Yeah, no, they haven't touched their base storage in quite a while, and it really annoys me, especially on the Macs, but that's another podcast. We won't talk about that right now.
Yeah. Now, one addition or kind of evolution to the front-facing camera on those 11 and 11 Pros, etc., that it is a wider angle to accept Face ID, so that is potentially something that could impact us.
Yeah, definitely. I was definitely happy to hear that because I generally like Face ID, but it does still annoy me sometimes. So
yeah, that was one of the things that kept me. So I'd be interesting to test that out and see on a demo unit and see what, because that's one of the things that was keeping me from moving from Touch ID was the sort of sporadic nature of the unpredictable nature of Face ID.
I don't know if you'd agree, Robin. I think it's vastly improved anyway, just through software in the last 2 years, but.
Well, I've still got my 8, so I don't know.
You don't know either.
Answer. But
you have to take my word for it.
I know that my sort of strategy to recommend anyone now get an 8, for example, is kind of a backward step, or it's certainly a dead end strategy because they, you know, certainly going to be discontinued relatively soon and you're never going to get one with a home button again. But, you know, if you're going to have to ditch the home button, you know, do you have to do it now? I mean, for me, I do a lot of controlling my phone in my pocket with my AirPods in my ears or under the duvet, something like that. So I don't know. I can't, if it gave me something really significant to go over to Face ID instead or to have gestures instead of a home button, then great. But what does it add?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. I suppose, yeah, it's it's funny though, when I pick up without a phone with the home button, it feels really strange that the screen doesn't start at the bottom anymore. I have to kind of reach up to get to the dock. You know, it's kind of like, oh, what's going on here?
Certainly from an aesthetic point of view or from a fashion point of view, as soon as the home button disappeared, ones with a home button looked really arcane. So, you know, I know that from a, you know, sighted community point of view, you got to go on to the latest, and that all works for them. They probably don't miss a home button at all.
Yeah. I you know, I do still hear plenty of people saying they, you know, and Samsung have done it, you know, and others, the people hoping for a home button underneath the screen or on the screen or however they would do that.
Well, like Tyler was saying, the rumor is that next year or the year after, Apple is going to try to do that. So, it'll be nice to have a phone with both. For those who like both, give them both. Perfect. Done. I've kind of wished that they would just throw a fingerprint sensor on the Apple logo on the back for a while, kind of like an Android phone has, just as a backup, but they don't take my messages, so whatever.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, maybe next year.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, maybe like an under-display ultrasonic fingerprint sensor or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I've been reading.
That's been the talk.
It's coming along.
That's what Samsung's is anyway, I believe.
Yeah. I heard that I've heard people are having some trouble, at least with the current iterations, people are having some trouble with that. It wasn't as like what they thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah, it's not nearly as reliable as Apple, it needs to be.
I can't imagine they would do it until they're confident they can get it pretty well equal with the current Touch ID.
So. Yeah.
I had a friend who just got a 10, S10 Galaxy. It was talking about the under screen fingerprint sensor, handed it to their friend, and he unlocked it.
Whoops.
So whoops. Apple is definitely not until it's
nice.
There's probably engineers probably at Apple getting some satisfaction out of stuff like that. Not to mention the folding phone.
The fold.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Well, that's like when, you know, Samsung were first to market with facial recognition and you could hold up a photograph and away you go.
Yep.
So, and this isn't for any Android people listening. This isn't to mock anyone. It's just that different strategies. Samsung are happy to kind of release things, you know, when they're earlier, I guess, whereas Apple often hold off.
Yeah. So anyone who hasn't answered yet, any iPhone upgrade plans?
I think you can guess my...
You're happy with your 8, I think, are you?
Yeah.
And your watch? No watch either?
No. I mean, I only got it 10 months ago, something like that, and it's just lightning fast. So yeah. I think it's... sooner or later, it's going to get damaged because I'll smack it into a wall by mistake or something.
You know? That's my terror every day is if I'm walking by, especially like a brick wall or, you know, like a low hanging something metal, I'm just waiting for this smashing sound on my left hand.
I've had the scraping sound once or twice and gone,
oh yeah, I hate that.
It's not pretty. Yeah, I'm like you on the watch side. I've just absolutely no need. On the iPhone side, I will likely get the 11. I'm not willing to. I just don't see enough in the Pro to. Although I would like the slightly smaller form factor, I just don't see enough there for the extra. And my iPhone 10 is a bit worse for wear. So I just, including the Lightning port being completely broken. So I'm completely reliant on wireless everything. So, I wanted it in blue, though. I'm a bit disappointed. But
now, have to be green. Before I answer, the one thing we haven't yet mentioned is there was a passing mention during the announcement of new low monthly payments available in a lot of countries. They didn't give any details or anything. They didn't say, you know, what you need for credit or anything. But apparently there will be some new payment options. And if you choose to trade in your existing phone, that'll drive your monthly payments down some. Mm-hmm. So I thought they already had this, but I think I was thinking of the iPhone upgrade program instead.
So we looked on the Apple Store app after the announcement, and they have pricing there. And so, yeah, for a trade-in, it has a price for each model and a monthly price. So it's like $199, $299 plus $12.95 a month, $14.95 for the Pro Max. But my question was, how do they know how much they'll give you for the phone that you bring in? Because it could be a battered up 6.
It's an estimate, a
spotless, you know, 10S. So that was weird. We didn't click through to get all of the details. But yeah, you'd be looking at about $10 to $15 a month.
So is that already available? Because I thought they would only do it on Friday when everything was updated.
You can put things in your basket straight away, though.
You just got all the, you know, incarnation. No, what's the word I'm looking for? All of the different versions and different
iterations. Was that what you were going for?
It's late. Yeah, you can do whatever combo you want.
Nice. Yeah, I'm thinking, depending on that end, depending on whether you can pay things off early or do, you know, more than just the minimum, if the payment plan works out, I really do want to look into the 11 or the 11 Pro for the same reasons we've talked about. The Pro is smaller. And it's only $100. I'm sorry. No, the Pro is $300. I was thinking of possibly going with the 10R. Instead, but the more I think about it, it's only $100 difference, which I know seems kind of like a lot, but when you're paying it over, you know, 2 years or whatever it is, it's not that much. So I think I'd rather go for the newer one and then either keep it longer or have a higher trade-in if I need the 2021 version, which has the magic underscreen Touch ID stuff that we all want. So I'm really leaning toward the 11 and just seeing how the payment plans work out. If they work out, then I'm probably going to go for it. And if they don't, my 7 is still trucking along just fine. So I can be happy with it for another year, I hope, probably.
And is the trade-in, the monthly thing, is it over 2 years or 1 year, or do you have an option?
I haven't heard. Robin, did you see anything when you're looking at it? Did it say terms or anything?
No, I didn't see that bit, unfortunately. Yeah.
I'd be interested.
But, I mean, if you've got the 7 and you've got big hands...
don't mind. Yeah, I kind of do.
As opposed to OLED, then yeah, go for the 11, because the 10R, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, had better battery life than the 10S, for example.
It did, yeah.
Yes, not yeah, I think
the max, but you don't, you know, you don't want to go there.
No. So,
you know, and it said in this presentation today that the 11 has got an hour longer than the 10R, and yep, the other ones have got like 4 hours longer, et cetera, et cetera. But what I don't know is if the 11 still beats the 11 Pro.
Oh, interesting.
That myself,
because
yeah,
it's chunkier. It's a bigger phone.
Is it?
It's in the middle screen-wise, but it's pretty chunky. It's fatter. You know, it's got a big battery.
Huh. Stop chunky. Trying to push. You're trying to push me to the Pro now, Robin.
You think it's chunky? I'll have to feel these out at the... you know, test them out at the store.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. That's interesting. But yeah. Because I mean, the battery's probably bigger because or maybe you get longer life because the 10S or 10S Max are now 11 Pro and 11 Pro Max. They have a lot. They have more stuff in it. You know, the cameras probably eat away at the battery life.
Mm. And from a voiceover point of view, OLED with the screen cutting on all the time, maybe that does magic for your battery. Mm. I don't know.
Oh, true.
True.
Good point.
Mm. Yeah.
Does anyone know dimension-wise, like, is the 11 the same physically as the 10R?
I believe so.
Okay.
I think
so.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
So I can run right down to the store now and feel the 10R and pretty much know what the 11 is going to look like. That's good to know.
Yeah. That's my, that's what I took away from today. Mm. But
yep. Yeah. Yeah. That was my impression as well. I wasn't sure.
The bump's different and everything, but yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a tough call. Cool. And Tyler, you're on the fence. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sort of in between. I'm leaning toward, if I decide to upgrade it, I'm not going to pre-order anything because I don't generally pre-order anything. I like to wait. I like to not be the test guinea pig.
Exactly.
I wish I had your patience.
yeah, so I'll probably, if I go, I'm leaning in between the 11 and the 11 Pro. Like I said, I'm gonna try to see these in person, get a sense of, you know, what it's like to actually use them, and hopefully make my decision from there.
Cool. Well, anyone else have any last thoughts, comments?
Yeah, Apple needs to not video anymore. That presentation had so many videos in it. Oh, it was horrible.
Or at least
like every time there was, it's like, this is the future, and then they play this music, and of course I'm watching live, and it's like, oh my god, so many videos. Like,
yeah.
Oh,
I think that's why Robin would recommend Twit, is it, Robin?
Well, they do announce, they do, yeah, they do tell you everything that's going on pretty much. So, but yeah, they do speak over a lot of stuff as well, which is why I'm crazy on some
that would annoy me.
Details. I know. But anyway, and for a network that are always reiterating the fact that 90% of their listenership or kind of audience are listen only, because they do everything video. Mm. And also MP3, which I think is fantastic. Huh. Always forget that important ratio because they don't always kind of audio describe everything. And I suppose, you know, that's unrealistic, but in a way it would be totally appropriate because if 90% of their audience aren't getting any of the pictures, then they probably could do a little bit more of that. But I always think it adds something to the live events, takes a lot of the guesswork out of what's going on.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, no, I just felt like there were more videos than normal and a lot more focus on the cameras. I think we were saying that earlier, but it felt like it was videos and camera demos, and that was the majority of it. Like, it was an hour 45. Yeah, probably 15 minutes of that was not the two things that I just said. So it was not the best presentation.
Taking slow fees then.
Oh, slow fees. That's the worst word. You can do slow-mo selfies now. So Apple, I guess, shortened that and made a new word, and I don't like it.
Well, there were no animojis this year anyway. But
true. hey, see, Tyler, you have to upgrade now because then you can do animojis, and I know you're looking forward to that.
Oh, I cannot wait. animojis. Wow.
Oh, yes. You can be a chicken or a fox.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah. So one thing that surprised me a little was that there were rumors and talk of an Apple TV upgrade, which would really just be a chip, but I think maybe October. And a new iPad Pro, I imagine probably October. I don't see any, you know, the only upgrades I would imagine for that to just be like a chip to the eight, because it'd be considered for the iPad line, A13X Bionic chip. And obviously with Catalina coming in October, I would imagine they'd have some kind of event. It'd probably focus on Mac, you know, if they get a 16-inch MacBook Pro in addition, apparently, to the 15-inch MacBook Pro, maybe an ultra high end one if the current one isn't high end enough or pricey enough. I don't know. And they'll probably talk more about the Mac Pro, upcoming Mac Pro. Yeah, and so that's, I think, what they'll.
Yeah, it's possible.
Pretty much their plans for the rest of the year. That I can tell.
That does remind me, we did get announcements for the release of iOS and macOS and watchOS and all the other OSs.
iOS is September 19th. iPadOS is September 30th. Yeah. And anyone jump in if I'm wrong on these. And then watchOS and tvOS, I believe, are coming on the 19th.
So the crazy thing, though, all right, iOS 13 is on the 19th. iOS 13.1 is 11 days later for some reason.
With iPadOS, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what that's about, but you're going to get two updates in under 2 weeks, so have fun with that.
Actually, they didn't mention today if the new iPhone 11s have 3D Touch or have
I think they went away with that.
Yeah, they said, what's the other thing? Haptic Touch?
They said on the iPhone 11 that it's got haptic touch, but that's the same as the XR, so it didn't have 3D touch either.
Yeah, no, they said it for everything, I think.
Okay,
good. I think so.
I won't, yeah, it's fine. I don't.
And the one thing I was hoping for in the one more thing is these tags, these tiles.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have the tile, and I really like them. They were on offer in the Prime Day the other day. And they're really good, and the crowdsourcing really does work, but they only work when other tile users pass by your lost items. So this had real promise to broaden that out to
If you think iOS. How many iPhones are going to walk past your device.
Yeah. But they're really useful. So I have one of them on the back door keys, and if I'm in the garden and I get a bit turned around, I can easily find the back door because the keys are always in the back of the back door. And either by firing it up on my phone or by shouting to the house for the A lady to ask the tile skill to find my back door keys, because there is Echo compatibility as well. So yeah, you know, I'd like that. Whether it would then have A lady compatibility, because Apple aren't necessarily going to do that, because that's really useful to me. So yeah,
it's funny, but a year or two ago, I would have said, yeah, no, they'll never support that. But nowadays, I don't know. They're integrating so many more services and AirPlay 2 with non-Apple things and Apple Music on Echoes, and it's a weird time for Apple.
Yeah, as a services company, I think they're really trying to, you know, expand their portfolio, and one of the ways to do that is to interface with their hardware.
Yeah.
Which something I'm all unthinkable. For. I'm glad. It'd be something unthinkable in the Jobs era.
But we know about background location capabilities in the new MacBooks. So maybe the tile will come out in an October event.
I'd say it could still happen, because the rumors seem to be pretty strong on it. So
yeah, because I think that another feature of the new iPhones is the ultra wide band. And if the tags do the same thing, maybe someone who doesn't get the new iPhone, you know, or wants to have the same capabilities of the ultra wideband technology. And if someone knows more about how this works precisely or has more information, do chime in. But then they could use that, you know, take stronger advantage of that technology for things other than their iPhone.
Okay, well, I think that probably just about does it for this event for us. So I will just thank everyone again. So Alex, Tyler and Robin, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed the event.
Brilliant. Anytime, guys. Love to come back.
Great stuff. Thank you. We will most certainly.
Thanks.
Yeah. And thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the AppleVis Extra. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.applevis.com. Follow us on Twitter @AppleVis and like us on Facebook.